is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
This is episode 96, and it's a red hot one, folks. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm recording this on Monday, the 22nd of May, 2017. I want to thank redmaryland.com for being, being kind enough to share the podcast on their website, redmaryland.com. They also have an iTunes account for their podcasts, and they share my podcast as well. So thank you, guys. You are the absolute best. Also want to thank our sponsor, which is Grass Monsters KC at grassmonsterskc.com, 5520 Raytown Road. They sell American-made mowers. I'm getting calls from people about the Dixie Chopper model line, I should say, of mowers, including the Silver Eagle, the Z2, the Excalibur, the Classic. I have a Silver Eagle in my garage. It's spectacular. It is a commercial mower. You don't need a commercial mower. That's okay. The Z2 will take care of you. Also, Hustler mowers made in Kansas. These are absolutely amazing. Like the Fast Track, 4-year, 400-hour warranty on this thing. The Raptor SDX, 3-year, 300-hour warranty on this. The Raptor Limited, 3-year, no hour limit. These are American made. They're absolutely awesome. You can go to 5520 Raytown Road in Raytown Mow in the Kansas City area, or just check out Raptor and Silver Eagle online if you're in the Maryland area and you want a great mower. You got to check out these models. They're spectacular. GrassMonstersKC.com. So last week I had kind of a rough week. I'm just going to be honest real quick. And before we jump into the day's events, and there's plenty to get to with Donald Trump in the Middle East. Some amazing stuff has happened there. Democrats are in complete panic over the murder of Seth Rich. Anthony Weiner in court today. Ooh, it's going to be ugly. Media coverage of the Trump's first 100 days set a new standard for negativity. We've got some other political stuff, and I'm going to do a couple podcasts today. This is 96. We'll probably do 97 today, which will be a little bit less political, but there's so much to get to. So much to get to. But last week, I kind of had a rough week. When you are an entrepreneur and you're starting something new, you have highs and lows, and I left terrestrial radio, not of my own accord, in November, all right? So I've been out of full-time work, technically, since November, and it's been very difficult at times, but I think the strength that you've given me through telling me you listen to the show and you download the show has meant so much, and I have 90%, 99% more positive days than I have negatives. Last week, I had some negatives. And I know that things are going to turn around. I know that the show is growing. And after meeting a bunch of people this weekend, I met a ton of people this weekend who really boosted me. Jeff King with Edward Jones. He is a 6-year Marine veteran suffering from PTSD. You got to meet him this weekend. And hopefully we're going to be able to help him out. Went to a really cool event. It's called it was for Armed Forces Day at Outlaw Cigar Company in Overland Park, and met a lot of veterans, saw several World War II veterans there, saw a bunch of people who listened to the show there, and you buoyed me this weekend when I needed it. And I thank you for that. Saw some unbelievable music this weekend, heard and met a young guy. His name is Taylor Smith, all right? Taylor Smith, he is the reincarnation of Jimi Hendrix. He's unbelievable. I saw him at Briarfest. It was a music festival, and unfortunately, the weather was not good. It was not as well-attended as I would have liked to have seen it. However, you remember this name, Taylor Smith. Taylor Smith. Unbelievable. In fact, I even think I have a little bit of audio from Taylor Smith, okay? Here's a little bit of audio from Taylor Smith, okay, from the weekend. Smith, band. Here we are. Let's see if I can get it here. Hold on, here it is. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Okay, I know it doesn't do justice. An iPhone doesn't do justice. This guy is incredible. And I'm going to tell you, and I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the great guitar players, because I have been a follower of some of the best over the years, from Albert Collins to Buddy Guy to Frank Marino to obviously Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan. When Stevie Ray Vaughan died, there was a hole in my heart that has been left there since he passed, because he was on his way. I mean, he'd already been there, but he was even getting better. And now he can't add to that library, and there's no more new stuff to listen to. Seeing this guy, Taylor Smith, and I'm going to share everything I can about Taylor Smith on social media, Rob Carson Show on Facebook and Rob Carson on Twitter. This is a 21-year-old guy, originally from North Carolina, came to KC from L.A. You just won't believe it. It'll give goosebumps up and down your spine. I'm trying to get my buddy Stretch at Grinders. It's a really great restaurant concert venue in Kansas City. This guy's been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and Guys Grocery Games. He's a freaking genius guy, you know, restaurateur and artist. I'm trying to get him to see if I can get Taylor to go down and play with Buddy Guy when he's in Kansas City. Taylor said that he would it would be a dream come true for him. But this guy is Taylor Smith. Don't forget the name, because you are gonna hear about this guy. He's ridiculous. He is absolutely ridiculous. I did tell him he needs to work a little bit on his social media presence, because it ain't there. It ain't there. All right. Let's get to the day's events. Did you see the King's welcome to Donald Trump in Saudi Arabia? I mean, they treated him like a king. He came there. He delivered a terrific speech on Saturday, an inspiring speech, very presidential. He's getting rave reviews from a lot of people in the country. Even the president of Egypt had some really, really positive things to say. And I think if there's anybody who can do the art of the deal, and I mean this in all sincerity, I'm not meaning to be cliche, but you're looking at the Israel-Palestinian issues over there. And by the way, Iran, they're out the loop. All right, Iran is out of the loop. Donald Trump, I think, there's a real possibility he could bring the Mideast together. He brokered a hell of a deal, over $300 billion arms deal with Saudi Arabia, and that'll put a lot of Americans to work. And he made it very clear that radical Islam is not going to continue. Now, last week, he basically gave the thumbs up to the military and Mad Dog Mattis, the general. He said, annihilate ISIS. That's it. Not ISIL. ISIS. Annihilate. Annihilate. All right? Let's just end this right now. He got some terrific praise, like I said, from the Saudi king, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. In fact, here's a report on CNN over the weekend about the relationship and the chemistry that Donald Trump had with the president of Egypt.
Leaders of other similarly autocratic countries like Bahrain. And we also saw the president once again having an interaction with Egyptian President el-Sisi, which was a little bit more reminiscent of a buddy comedy routine rather than a meeting between two key world leaders. Listen into this clip we have.
Mr. President, let me express our appreciation and respect, and let me say that you have a unique personality that is capable of doing the impossible.
There you go. He has a unique personality, and he's capable of doing the impossible. Is the impossible bringing the Middle East together? Is the impossible bringing peace to the Middle East? I would say if peace is going to come to the Middle East, it's going to have to be peace through strength. And I think he's already made that kind of clear. That he's tired of messing around. Syria, an example. 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles, one Syrian airbase that was launching sorties with chemical weapons. Hasta la vista, bitches. Okay? We'll see. He is in Israel this morning, although you wouldn't know that from watching MSNBC. They're not even mentioning it. He met with, on the tarmac, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and Israel President Reuven Rivlin, I should say. And this is a report, I believe this is from CNN. An Israeli official told the AFP, on condition of anonymity, that ministers were responding to the Trump request to present him with confidence-building measures ahead of his talks with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In a statement, Trump's administration welcomed the move, saying he has been encouraging both sides to take steps that improve the environment for peacemaking. You have a great opportunity, Trump told Rivlin. There's a great feeling for peace throughout the Middle East. I think people have just had enough. They've had enough of the bloodshed and the killing. Well, the Palestinians need to come to the table and start doing something about it then. Like I said, we've got a commander-in-chief who means business with regard to the Middle East. And the great thing is that he's a friend of Israel. And I know they're feeling the love more than anybody. But I thought the first visit to Saudi Arabia was pretty epic. He arrived in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on Air Force One, flying direct. And then it began a 48-hour love fest with leaders of the Arab nation. Second leg of the 9-day excursion. It's going to put a spotlight on the vaunted efforts to bring peace between Israelis and Palestinians. We'll see. Like I said, the Palestinians got to stop the hate talk and the bull crap. I've never been to Israel, but I know that between Israel and the West Bank, there are billboards put up by Palestinians and some of the affiliated terror organizations that work with them that celebrate the death of Israeli soldiers, the kidnapping of Israeli citizens. They're vicious, they're vile, and they're awful. And that whole mindset has to go by. The whole eliminate, wipe Israel from the map has got to stop. It's got to stop. Because you got a president here who'll kick your ass. All right? Annihilate ISIS. Annihilate them. Now, Israeli President Rivlin said, the people of Israel are excited about your arrival and have great expectations. The world needs a strong United States. The Middle East needs a strong United States. Israel needs a strong United States. He said, each crescendo outdoing the last. And may I say, the United States needs a strong Israel. We've had a strong Israel for a while. We just haven't had a very strong United States. And I just think positive things are on the way. We will see. Can he do it? Can he broker the deal? I had mentioned on Facebook and on Twitter this morning, could this be the next Begin Sadat? I was a little kid when Jimmy Carter negotiated the deal with Begin and Sadat that brought Israel and Egypt together to some degree. And Jimmy Carter, that was the only thing notable about his presidency. Otherwise, kind of just destroyed the economy. Yeah, things like that. Made us look weak in the eyes of the world. Typical Democrat president stuff. But this is, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. There was a study presented on Friday, a Harvard study that has documented the mainstream media's blatant anti-Trump bias, found that the president dominated news coverage in his first 100 days. It was almost entirely negative. 93% of CNN and NBC's Trump coverage, very critical of the new president. Now, I'll get into a little bit on the study here and how sickening this is. This is worse than Pravda. To some degree, it's worse than North Korean media. And I'll tell you why. Because during the years of the Barack Obama administration, there was a slavish adoration of the president by the media to the tune of covering up things like Benghazi or avoiding or ignoring. The same way with the FBI investigation and shutdown of conservative 501c3s before an election, using the IRS as a weapon to silence free speech. Okay, we have a First Amendment in the country, which is the most marvelous piece of legislation I believe in the history of mankind. I really do. Right up there with the Magna Carta. In fact, I'd even say better, because it allows you to say what you want to say. There are a few things you can't. You can't do threatening speech, but you can offend people. I mean, there have been centuries and hundreds and thousands of countries and leaders that have punished people for free speech. And our press is unhindered by it. They can be the check and balance on government. It's a marvelous thing, but they're not doing it. They only want to be the check on Democrats. And they only want to tear down Republicans. And that is the case with Donald Trump, but it's unprecedented right now. There is an active movement in newsrooms around the country to take this president down. It is active. There is a celebratory mood in newsrooms when an allegation is made. A couple big allegations and two stories last week, I believe, in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. I'll share some details on that. But this is freaking sickening. This is worse than Pravda during the Soviet Union. This is worse for the reason that our press is unhindered. They don't need to be a mouthpiece, but they choose to be a mouthpiece. And they are choosing to be part of essentially a coup to bring down a president. And I'll explain how flimsy the stories are in just a moment. Back to the Harvard study. The tone of the coverage, first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency, 80% negative, found that President Barack Obama's received only 41% negative coverage in his first 100 days. George W. Bush, 57% negative. Bill Clinton, 60% negative. All right. Quote from the study, in no week did Trump coverage drop below 70% negative. Reached 90% at its peak. This was during the House of Representatives' attempt to pass a health care bill. So not only are they acting as a tool to bring down a presidency, but also their negative press coverage increases when Donald Trump goes against their agenda. So the peak negativity was during the attempt to repeal Obamacare. Think about the positive coverage that Barack Obama got when he was passing the damn thing against the will of the American people. The Washington Post and New York Times covered Trump negatively 83 and 87% of the time, respectively. Not really respectively. I don't respect either one of them. And overwhelmingly, 93% of NBC and CNN's news reports were negative. The only outlet come close to fairness was Fox News. 52% reports negative. Wall Street Journal, 70% of news were negative. A quote from the study from Harvard, Trump has received unsparing coverage for most weeks of his presidency without a single major topic where Trump's coverage on balance was more positive than negative, setting a new standard for unfavorable press coverage of the president. Okay? 96% of stories on immigration, negative. Wouldn't you consider that having illegal immigration from the southern border be cut by 70% just with policy, don't you think somebody would say that's a positive? No. You know why? Because it goes against the media's agenda. As I said, also, when Republicans were trying to repeal Obamacare, press coverage peaked out negatively. So they're acting as a tool to guide policy and to reject new policy that doesn't support what Barack Obama passed. It's so nakedly obvious. 87% of healthcare stories, 81% of stories on Trump's fitness for office, all carrying a negative tone. Only on the economy did the media coverage approach balance, with 46% of those reports carrying a positive tone. And by the way, did you hear? Unemployment at a 28-year low. We have reached what is called full employment in the country. We haven't seen that in years and years and years. Unemployment, 4.4%, and it's not BS. Report out of Atlanta, the GDP the last quarter, 4%. The study also warns that such negative coverage may not only be harmful to Trump, but also for the way the public view the media. Well, it's too late for that one. You know, it's too late for that one on me. Oh, let's do a Wiener update. Shall we do a Wiener update? Oh, Anthony Weiner. We may have finally. Listen to this. I want you to listen. And I'm not counting my chickens, because there's still a possibility he'll come back because he is a Democrat. But there may be a point where a Democrat career as a politician has ended because of a sex scandal or just a scandal in general. Generally, Democrats can commit murder, Hillary Clinton. Generally, Democrats get away with murder. Barney Frank had a male prostitute living in his flat in D.C. Ted Kennedy drove off a pier and left a woman to drown. Bill Clinton got a BJ from an intern in the White House, denied he had sex with her. Oh, she kept the dress. You're a little sloppy there, Bill. Yeah, I could go on and on. Barack Obama, Benghazi, you know, the IRS going after conservative groups. Well, you know, they can get away with anything. Well, I guess they hit a new, you know, Bill Clinton banging everything in sight, sexually assaulting women, paying off women to keep quiet, Paula Jones, having sex in the White House. Hillary Clinton didn't leave him. No, there's no leaving. There's no leaving. Well, it looks like Anthony Weiner, this may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. He is pled guilty in his teen sexting case. So apparently, you can't sext a 15-year-old. That's the breaking point for Democrats. Again, like I said, there's still the possibility that he, you know, could do a slobbering confession, and I'm this, and I'm sorry. But this may be it. And by the way, we've also reached a point as well, because of all the things that he had done, sexting, going into rehab, coming back sexting a 15-year-old, and his depravity actually got worse, as the story was reported. But Humud Abedin apparently has filed for divorce. So can you believe this? A Democrat actually maybe a political career ending and a divorce because of a sex scandal? I know. Here's a report from NBC this morning.
One-time Congressman Anthony Weiner will soon have a new title, registered sex offender. The disgraced politician pleading guilty in federal court to transmitting obscene material to a minor, admitting to sending racy texts to a 15-year-old last year, including one photo with his own child right next to him.
Yeah, and he was in an excited state, by the way. Anthony Weiner, I mean.
Weiner breaking down as he read a prepared statement describing destructive impulses. Quote, I have a sickness, but I do not have an excuse. Weiner is married.
Well, wait a minute. You said you had a sickness. That's an excuse.
To top Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin. It was the investigation into Weiner that threw the presidential campaign into turmoil when James Comey revealed Clinton emails discovered on Weiner's laptop.
I'm here today to again apologize.
In 2011, Weiner resigned from Congress in disgrace over his first sexting scandal.
Today, I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
This is why I'm in the race.
In 2013, he ran for mayor of New York until he was caught sexting again. It's like having a nightmare. Their drama captured in a documentary.
That's the really funny thing. I haven't seen the documentary, but they did a documentary and they signed off on it.
Are you okay?
Today, Abedin officially filed for divorce, seeking full custody of their 5-year-old son. It's still unclear how Weiner's status as a sex offender could impact a custody battle.
Well, I don't think it's going to be positive.
And he may have to be off probation before he's able to visit his child's school.
Jeez.
The government seeking between 21 and 27 months in prison.
Wow. A defendant doesn't plea because they don't want a messy trial. They plea because they think it's better for them that they'll get less time in jail.
Weiner will be sentenced in September. And one more blow in his stunning fall from grace.
I don't know if blow is the best word to use there.
Serial sexter. Forced to surrender his smartphone.
Da, 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 da. He had to surrender his smartphone. Jeez. Oh, man. For some people, that's a punishment worse than jail, I guess. I know. Yeah. Well, that's the latest. Wow. Just remarkable. Just remarkable. You got Rod Blagojevich is in jail in Illinois. I guess his career kind of ended. Jesse Jackson Jr., he's in jail in Illinois. We will see. Two big bombshells last week. The New York Times and Wall Street Journal offered bombshells. Bombshells last week with regard to a couple of instances. Let's see. I've got them both here. It takes a while to digest all of this stuff. Times reports that Trump told the visiting Russians that former FBI Director James Comey was a nut job and that firing him had eased pressure in his ability to conduct foreign policy, though the Times, by the way, takes Trump to mean the legal pressure on the investigation. Now, this was, by the way, both of these reports are based on source documents the outlets cannot authenticate, do not possess, admit are partial, and refuse to share. The Times describes its source as a document summarizing the meaning that was circulated, does not say by whom. Times doesn't have the document. An American official simply read quotations to the Times. Post story, which reports that the probe into potential ties between Russian and Trump campaign, Russians and the Trump campaign, has reached someone close to the president, who cites people familiar with the matter. Does not prove the story is untrue, but the sources are so flimsy There's no way to have confidence in the what the Post calls its revelation. Earlier this week, the Post reported that House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy told a meeting of fellow House Republicans, "I think Putin pays Trump." According to the those present, the remark was a joke. The Post source was an audio recording of the conversation, and of course they didn't actually have possession of it. And they refused to share with the public so that people cannot judge for themselves. All right, so it's bull crap. This, according to Joe Pollack, he writes for Breitbart. The Times and the Post violate the most basic journalistic standards, publishing parts of a document that you do not possess and cannot verify, and timing the release to cause maximum political damage right after the president leaves the country. Again, this puts Pravda to shame. It's not investigative journalism. It is political propaganda. Shame on you. Shame on you for pissing on the First Amendment, you losers. Why don't they teach this in broadcast journalism school? Here's Rachel Maddow last week talking to Lawrence O'Donnell on NBC, and they are looking for anything. This is what it's all about. They're looking for anything to take this man down. They are wishing and they're hoping, and they're so disappointed that Hillary Clinton lost. And I've said this before. They are invested in the scandal fairy coming and visiting the White House. Now, the scandal fairy doesn't exist. Don't tell them. Because Rachel's kind of young, you know, and she's a little immature. I wouldn't tell Rachel and Lawrence that the scandal fairy really doesn't exist. I know they go to bed every night and, you know, she lays down and what does she put under her pillow? I guess a copy of the New York Times, and she waits for the scandal fairy to arrive so that the next day she can wake up and say that the Trump's presidency is over. But the scandal fairy never comes. Here's the exchange.
Yeah, and can you imagine in any other presidential administration the news breaking that the White House counsel was notified weeks in advance that a national security advisor candidate was under federal investigation, and the White House then went ahead and made the hire.
Now, this is about General Flynn, by the way, which was a conversation that he had with a foreign official that was not supposed to be released. All right. So this is one scandal. Then last week, also the two revelations in the Times. I don't want to confuse these. In the Times and the Wall Street Journal.
Be a bigger scandal than almost anything we've ever seen in any other presidential administration.
Wow. This is like you're really, really hoping the scandal fairy comes tonight. If you want it to be the best, the biggest scandal in the history of the presidency of the United States of America. Most Americans, including me, are saying, meh.
I mean, tonight it's the third biggest story of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, here we go.
But that would be bigger than almost any other presidential scandal in history.
Of course, the other two are the aforementioned anonymous, unsourced, uncooperated reports in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal.
On its own terms, if this story bears out.
We should keep our eye on Don McGahn. White House counsel was John Dean's job.
There's no comparison between this and Watergate, you idiot.
In the Nixon White House, John Dean ended up serving time for some of the actions he took as White House counsel, but he was the guy who turned on everyone.
Michael Flynn was let go. Okay, Michael Flynn's career was effectively destroyed by this, even though it should not have been destroyed by this.
Else in the conspiracy and did testify against them 48.
As far as letting go Jim Comey, Donald Trump wanted to fire Jim Comey, and many in the FBI do not like Jim Comey. And he just waited for his report from the assistant deputy AG, basically to provide cover when he said, "Bye-bye, you're fired."
People, 48 people in Nixon administration then go to jail after that.
Listen to this.
Here we are, Rachel. Here we are.
Here we are, and here we remain.
Okay, here we go.
Here we are.
They're getting ready to go home and put their Wall Street Journal and their New York Times and their Washington Post under their pillow and wait for the scandal fairy. Listen how breathless they are.
Rachel, here we are.
Here we are, and here we remain.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Scandal fairy's coming. Scandal fairy's coming. Come on, man. Bob Woodward, Washington Post correspondent, was on, I believe this is on MSNBC's Morning Joe on Friday. And even Woodward is warning against believing in the scandal fairy.
Take a picture.
Stick to the reporting. Right. And you have done a great job. And, of course, one of the realities here is we've got an old newspaper war going between the New York Times and the Washington Post.
There's a newspaper war. They want the scoop. They want the one story that validates, you know, which paper breaks when the scandal fairy arrives. They want to be there.
And some very powerful stories. At the same time, I think it's time to dial back a little bit about because there are people around.
Because they're anonymous. They're uncorroborated. Yada, yada, yada. You heard it earlier. You know, they don't have recordings. They had stuff read over the phone by an anonymous official. I mean, this is so freaking flimsy.
Certainly not you, certainly not the reporters at the Post, who are kind of binge drinking the anti-Trump Kool-Aid.
Right? Yeah.
And that is not going to work in journalism. Let the politicians have that.
Yeah. And that's, they are binge drinking the Kool-Aid to the point that they want to, it's clouding their judgment. They're forgetting journalism and truth. Newt Gingrich was on Fox News on Friday to talk about these allegations by the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and basically saying the truth, that they're essentially trash.
They're garbage. The fact that this city is fascinated with garbage is a sad commentary. I'm with General Keane.
By the way, you got to have to pardon his voice. I think he's got some sort of laryngitis going on. I don't know what's going on, but it's a little weak.
You have a president going to a historic meeting with over 20 Arab leaders, but the story is no sources, no names.
Oh, by the way, no bowing before the Saudi king, and Melania and Ivanka did not wear headscarves.
In either the New York Times or the Washington Post, none. And yet these are, quote, bombshells. No, they're not. They're just more of the left-wing hatred for Trump. Trump was clear on CBS News. He told Lester Holt he wanted to fire Comey. He thinks Comey was irresponsible. You know, now you have a leak that says, gosh, Trump actually meant what he said on CBS. This stuff is just, all of this is done by the left. And there's a Harvard study out that shows there is more media hostility to Donald Trump than any president in modern American history. Tonight's another example. They could have said, president leaves on historic trip to bring together the Arab world to fight terrorism. President leaves on historic trip to go to Israel and meet with both Palestinians and Jewish leaders. President goes on historic trip to meet the Pope. Oh, no. They come up with garbage in order to smear the president as he leaves the country. I think it's disgusting, and I'm really sad that the Washington Post and the New York Times have ceased to be newspapers and purely become left-wing propaganda.
And it's amazing how many defenders of the New York Times there are. I was talking to somebody the other day who was, I still had a belief that the New York Times was the gray lady, the original gray lady, the great gray lady who was the original check and balance on corruption in government. And now they're just Pravda kids. Here's a little more on Newt Gingrich talking about Jim Comey's going to testify in front of Congress, by the way, about Donald Trump asking him to lay off Michael Flynn. And it was not a scandal. He didn't say anything. He didn't resign immediately like he was being pressured or told, do not fire this guy. Newt Gingrich.
Look, I have a simple question for Comey. If at any point he thought the president was doing something inappropriate, he testified in public and said it wasn't true. I don't think he told his superiors. So what's the deal? Comey clearly didn't think he was pressured.
Now Comey didn't say anything. There's only this supposed memo that is being circulated. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, guys, but if Jim Comey was told by the president, to end an investigation, to resign would have been the thing to do. If that was truly a scandal, but it was never. He didn't circulate it to any of his peers. He didn't resign. But now this, supposedly this memo where he noted the president saying something, that's really, really innocuous. This is a scandal.
I didn't think it was inappropriate, but now that he's been fired. I mean, how many people have had somebody you fire turn around and decide they don't like you? So if Comey had a beef,
pretty much 100%,
didn't he have an obligation to tell the Congress? He appeared before Congress. He was asked questions. Has any effort been to stop this? No, there has not been effort. Go back and look at what he said. And whatever he says when he testifies at Memorial Day, I hope people will look at what he said earlier, put them together, and ask yourself, how honest is this guy and how reliable is this guy?
Well, a lot of people don't like Jim Comey. I haven't liked him since the Monday after Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch on a tarmac to talk about their grandchildren for 45 minutes. Shia, right? Yeah, I know I said Shia, right? I kind of did a little flashback not Bill and Ted. Shia, right, is Wayne's World. Dear Lord. Wow, brain fart there. What the hell just happened there, folks? I'm going to have to, start coming back with some more B12. Oh, by the way, did you notice that there's no impeachment talking this morning? There's really no impeachment talk on the web right now. MSNBC, it's quieted down. I saw an article about a week ago. I think this is from Hot Air. Months before Donald Trump was even nominated for president of the Republican National Convention, the possibility of impeaching President Trump was already being floated in political circles. April 2016 Politico piece, could Trump be impeached shortly after he takes office? Day before the election, researchers with the University of Utah made the legal case for impeaching Trump if he won the election. The researchers claimed Trump could be charged with fraud or racketeering, both of which are felonies. No evidence, of course. Shortly after the election, an American university professor famed for his accurate electoral predictions, including that Trump would win the election, said Trump faced good chances of impeachment in his first term in office. Similarly, conservative legal expert Steve Calabresi said that impeachment needs to be on the table shortly after Trump's electoral victory. Why? Days before the Trump inauguration, California Democrat Maxine Waters was already making the case for his impeachment. She's not saying anything this morning, which is such a gift for my ears. Oh, my God, what a gift. She's not talking. It's glorious. Glorious. This just breaking, Saturday, an anonymous person who works with in Washington, D.C., alleged on 4chan's POL subgroup poll that high-ranking current and former Democrat Party officials are terrified of the Seth Rich murder investigation. Now, I know you're saying, well, listen, if you're going to quote anonymous sources, why don't you have any credibility with regard to the Wall Street Journal and New York Post? Well, here's what I'm saying. Seed for discussion. Kim.com on 4chan says that basically, I know Seth Rich. Now, you call Seth Rich, 27-year-old guy, Dem operative, and apparently he was going to leak Democrat documents to WikiLeaks. He was murdered. He was not robbed because there were $2,200 worth of stuff on him, including a watch and a wallet with money in it. He was just murdered. 4:00 in the morning in Washington, D.C. This guy, Kim.com, says, I knew Seth Rich. I know he was the WikiLeaks source. I was involved. All right. I know for certain that Seth Rich has scared the shit out of certain high-ranking current and former Democrat Party officials. This is the reason they backed down from the impeachment talk. They know the smoking gun is out there, and they're terrified you will find it, because when you do, it will bring the entire DNC along with a couple of very big-name politicians into it. Seth Rich. I know for certain that Podesta is deeply concerned. He went off on Donald Trump this morning, by the way. He's been receiving anonymous calls and emails from people saying they know the truth. Same with Hillary. So who knows? as with the supposed Trump scandals, show me the evidence. Sean Hannity tweeted this week, and complete panic is set in at the highest levels of the Democrat Party. Any bets when the kitchen sink is dumped on my head? Like I said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the evidence. I'm not going to say that the Democrat Party ordered the murder of Seth Rich or Hillary Clinton was involved. And it she may not. She may be. You know. Whatever. I think that's going to do it for episode number 96 of the podcast. This has been fun, guys. I hope you enjoyed it today. 97 is coming up. I'm going to throw that down today. It'll be a little bit less political. I've got a lot of university madness coming up. I've got some great audio as well. I still haven't, of course, recovered from Chris Cornell's passing. He was the lead singer of Soundgarden, Audioslave. I spent the weekend listening to his music. And last night at the Billboard Music Awards, there was a moment of silence. I'm going to share some audio from that in the next edition. The Ringling Brothers' final curtain call happened. Oh, I am so going to debunk the campus rape myth in the next edition of the show, right? I want to thank RedMaryland.com for carrying the podcast. God bless you. Thank you. Please share with your friends. We are on iTunes at The Rob Carson Show. We are on SoundCloud at Rob Carson Show. We are on Facebook at Rob Carson Show. You see what I did there? It's called branding, kids. It's called branding. Also want to remind you, we have a line of politically incorrect swag. This includes t-shirts, hats, mugs, stickers, laptop cases, onesies for your baby, tanks, hoodies, all with politically incorrect sayings on them, like veganism is an eating disorder. He won, she lost, get over it. There's another one, sometimes war is the answer. There's one with the coexist. You ever seen that bumper sticker? I've got one that says, has the coexist bumper sticker. It says you can't coexist when someone to kill you. All there, all you got to do is go to teepublic.com, teepublic.com, and look for conservatees, conservatees. So teepublic.com, and look for conservatees, E-E-S, and order, because Father's Day is coming up. Also, thank you, Grass Monsters KC. If you're looking for a residential or commercial mower that's built like a brick excrement house, go to Grass Monsters KC. Check out Hustler Made in Kansas and Dixie Chopper Made in the great state of Ohio. They are absolutely awesome. In the meantime, God bless you. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again here very shortly for episode number 97.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.